God is love. It is a very simple statement, yet so rich and profound. While holiness is the supreme characteristic of God, God is described as being holy, holy, holy. Used three times, it's like super holy above anything, anybody else. That is God's supreme characteristic. But love is God's very nature. To know God is to know love. And Jesus is love with skin on. You'd be surprised how not prevalent the concept of God as love truly is. It's not found in the major world religions. It's found in some minor ones like Baha'i and Sikhism. But of the 99 names of Allah in Islam, love is not one of them. Allah is merciful and compassionate, but not love. There's a difference between being loving and being actually love. Love is powerful and love is active. Our scripture reading this morning tells us that God is love. Two times, God is love. And we hear that God most profoundly demonstrated and revealed God's love to us and in us by sending Jesus into the world that we might live through him, because Jesus was and is the payment for our sins. Before we ever knew or loved God, God loved us first. And because God is love, all love that is truly love comes from God. All love can be celebrated. We have to define what that love is. There's a specific word here that's used over and over, and that word is agape, and that is the word that is used in 1 Corinthians 13, that love chapter. If we want to know what love is, that love is patient and kind, doesn't tell lies, doesn't brag, isn't jealous, isn't proud, all those things that we read about in 1 Corinthians 13, that's the kind of love we're talking about. It's self-sacrificing love. And John tells us that wherever we see love, we see God. Being characterized by love is a sign that one has been born of God. And those who are born of God will confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Those who haven't been born from God, John says, they cannot love. Because this kind of love, this kind of self-sacrificial love, of totally giving of oneself, only comes from God. It's not something we can conjure up. Those who don't love God don't know God, regardless of what they claim. Because God is love, because we are God's people, then we are to be people of love. Three times in these verses, we are commanded to love one another. We have to love one another. I support missionary friends with an organization called Women at Risk International. And Women at Risk International helps set up and partner with organizations around the world to rescue specifically women, sometimes men, from human trafficking and help them to make a living through with dignity while restoring them to healing and wholeness through the transforming power and love of Jesus and the gospel. And they have a rescue and training center right here in the United States, in Michigan. And there is a survivor who is now a spokesperson for Women at Risk. And I've heard her testimony a couple of times now. Her name is Rhoda, and one of her gifts is singing. When she was young, she went to Japan thinking that she had a legitimate recording contract. Instead, she was made a sex slave for the Yakuza, the Japanese mafia, and she was finally able to escape. She went through a restorative program with Women at Risk International, and today she still struggles physically in her body. One of the things she talked about recently was not being able to wear one of these because it gave her PTSD. She would have panic attacks because when she was being abused, one of the things they did was cover her face. And so that's a very difficult thing for her. She talked about it being difficult for her to sleep at night. And so for her to go to sleep, she always plays scripture and falls asleep every night to scripture playing. But she is a survivor. She makes things. She's a fashion designer now. She makes clothing. She makes jewelry. And she sings. And she wrote a testimonial song dedicated to her traffickers about her healing. She says that it is my prayer that those 70 plus people who used and abused me will all come to know Jesus. Friends, that's the power of love. That's not the kind of love that we can just conjure up on our own to say, I pray every day that those people will come to know Jesus. That's God at work. I shared from another testimony last week of a woman whose husband was killed in Turkey for being a follower of Jesus. She said, God's greatest revenge is turning those who persecute his followers into disciples. This is my prayer for the men who killed my husband, that they would become followers of Jesus. God's greatest revenge is not often people, but loving people and making them part of God's family. Isn't this, after all, what God did with the Apostle Paul? Someone who persecuted the church, and then he transformed him into amazing evangelist and Bible writer, a church planter and missionary. God's love is a kind of love that transforms life. It doesn't leave people the same. It turns enemies into friends. God's love is love that is self-sacrificial because Jesus laid down his life for us. God's love is the love that doesn't hold back. Those women who shared their testimonies were able to offer that kind of love in return because it's from God, because they have the Holy Spirit. This is another gift of God, a sign of God's love to us. John says that we can know that we abide in God and we can live in God because of the Holy Spirit. Those who have the Spirit, those who are ready and joyful, like these women, to bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, are characterized by love. Sometimes we call things love that aren't really love. Sometimes what we call love is lust. Sometimes what we call love is tolerance. Sometimes what we call love is accommodation. But John gives us characteristics of the love that truly comes from God. He says you can't love God and hate a fellow believer. Love that comes from God is other-focused, not self-focused. He tells us that the love that comes from God is not fearful. That real love doesn't do the right thing in order to get something in return. Many relationships in our world today are based on utilitarianism. What's in it for me? What can I get out of this relationship? What can I get from the other person? I'll be in this relationship as long as I'm getting something out of it. But God's love is what's best for the other person. It's self-sacrificing and it's costly. And certainly we absolutely benefit from being loved by God. But God poured out his benefits upon us before we were ever aware of them or acknowledged them. They are gifts freely given, God is not our magic genie to be used. We don't worship and serve God, I hope, simply because we expect to get things from God. I hope you're not here just to see what blessings I can get, but because God loved you first. If God never rewarded our behavior, we already have enough. Because God's given us a son first. If we got nothing else, we've been given salvation. We have eternal life. And that's not dependent on anything about us, but solely on the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We simply respond to the love of God by saying, yes, this is what I want. I want you, Lord. John also tells us that real love doesn't act because it's scared of being punished. I hope you're not here today because you're afraid that God will get you if you didn't come. Fearing God is not the same thing, though, as fearing going to hell. Fearing going to hell is a specific consequence. It has nothing to do with a relationship with the Lord. Some people initially come to Christ for that reason. I don't want to go to hell. But if that's where it stops, then I call that, my personal word for that is fire insurance. And I'm not really sure that it's a fire insurance that you can bank on. What God really wants with you is a relationship. And you might start out that way, but I hope that you are developing a relationship with a God who loves you and loves you fiercely. People can fear going to hell and try to be good, and yet have no desire at all to really want God as part of their lives. That makes God sad. Again, it's a utilitarian relationship with God. But proper fear of the Lord, which we are commanded in Scripture to have, it's the only fear that we are commanded to have. It has to do with a desire to maintain a harmonious relationship with God. I don't want to make God sad. I don't want to grieve or anger God. I don't want to do those things that cause me to be out of fellowship with my Lord. The focus becomes the person, God, not on the punishment or consequences, but on the relationship. It's being aware that I don't want to have a broken relationship with somebody who loves me so much. Think about back when you were younger and you disobeyed your parents. Maybe there was a time in your life where you were way more concerned about the consequences, the punishment that you knew that you were going to get. But after a while, as you grew, I bet the important thing became more the relationship, not wanting to make mom and dad upset. I'm one of those blessed people whose parents didn't have to hand down always the harsh consequences. For me, it was the talk. I didn't like being a disappointment to my parents. I didn't really want to hurt people that I knew loved me. The good news is that no matter what you do, you are never a disappointment to God. You cannot be a disappointment to God. That's how much God loves you. You cannot disappoint God. Because disappointment comes from unmet expectations. It means thinking that somebody's going to do something or be something and they turn out not to be or do that. But see, God knows everything about us already. And because God knows everything about us already, there are no unmet expectations with God. God knows exactly all the mistakes you're going to make. God knows exactly where you're going to fail. So you're not going to disappoint God because God's not going to be surprised. Yes, we fail to meet God's standards, but God still loves us. God cannot love you less tomorrow for something you're going to do than God loves you today. God will not love you any less. God loves you fully and completely. That is the unwavering love of God. And though we cannot be a disappointment to God, we certainly can grieve God. God still gets sad. And fear of the Lord is a legitimate motivator to obey, for obedience. Just because God knows we're going to sin and fail doesn't mean that God likes it. And we know that. God takes no pleasure in our disobedience, but God doesn't love us any less for it. The last song we will sing this morning is Jesus Loves Me. And there's a verse that I learned that is not in our hymn book. It says, Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, though it makes him very sad. Yes, Jesus loves me. Whether I'm good or bad, Jesus loves me anyway. It's the unwavering love of God. Jesus loves, period. Thankfully, when we hurt our loved ones, they don't usually stop loving us. Our relationship might be strained for a while, even maybe for a long time, but usually that is a sign of pain and hurt, not because somebody doesn't love you anymore. But how much more is God's love than that? Because God will always forgive whenever we ask. God does not hold grudges, even when we grieve God. We are called to love one another. It means that real love is given freely, just as God has freely given himself to us in Jesus Christ. Because God is love, that love cannot change or disappear because God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because God is love and because God loves us, how can we not bow in worship to God? How can we not be excited about serving others and demonstrating for them and to them the kind of love that we ourselves have received, and to help them know that they can experience God's great love for themselves? How can we not tell others the truth about our great God of love? God is love is good news. I pray that each of you will know that God loves you, and may you be motivated always by that love to express your love for God in return, by loving God, by serving God, by loving and serving other people, especially fellow believers, as John tells us here. And may you know that when you fail to love as God commands, God still loves you anyway. And may you allow that kindness and love of God to move you to repentance, to seek God's forgiveness and God's restoring love, so that you may be filled again with love overflowing. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks and praise that you are love. That you loved us first before we were ever aware of you, before we ever knew you or knew anything about you. You loved us. You had already sent Jesus for us. We thank you that you offer freely for us eternal life, not based on anything that is in us or the potential that we might have, but because it is a free gift that you love, because you want a relationship with your creation. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Thank you that you have forgiveness that is always ready to restore us in relationship with you. Thank you that we cannot disappoint you, even though we fail you, because you know everything about us. Lord, fill us with your love, so that we can love others. Help us to have the kind of love that is quick to forgive and wants to see people to have a relationship with you like we have. Help us to love and to serve, so that the world might know that you are a God of love and how great you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is Love Divine, All Love Excelling.